Federal leaders like you know that modernizing IT requires updated technology and a culture shift. Stop reacting to change and start leading transformation. Visit BoozAllen.com/Federal News Radio.
The Air Force says it needs to build capacity in order to compete with China and Russia, but it's considering an unorthodox way of doing so. Frankenstein planes may be on the horizon for the Air Force. These are old fighters and bombers converted into drones. Federal News Radio Scott Massioni discussed the pros and cons of this idea with Douglas Berkey, executive director of the Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies.
United States Air Force has a problem where they have way too much demand than the present force can handle. And if you look at problems like, let's just talk about North Korea a few months ago, you needed policy options fast. And when you looked at what the war plan was calling for and all that, the current force would have been stretched incredibly thin, especially if you consider you still had Syria going on, Ukraine is still volatile, you've got China doing things. I mean, the world's on fire in many different ways, and we're stretched thin. So it's not like you can surge everything you've got just to one spot, because then you incentivize bad actors to act out elsewhere, be opportunistic, and other things might pop up. And so we need to find a way to add capacity really, really quickly. Over the last several years, there have been a number of test and development efforts to create unmanned systems that are unlike what we currently have with, for example, Reapers or Global Hawks, which are more hand-flown by remote control or operate off a script where they do A, B, and C that they're pre-programmed to do. And we're talking about autonomy, flying these aircraft to execute mission taskings in collaboration with manned assets to help bring in force structure in a real-time fashion that you can count on. Might not go against your hardest problem sets, but can it free up your more capable assets to go against those and still get a lot of other taskings done, provide more options to the leaders?
So at this point, you're talking about basically converting old planes, things like that. Is the technology there at this point to do that? And do we know enough for that sort of thing?
Yeah. We put out the idea of converting aircraft that are currently in storage simply because cost is everything right now. And if you look at those airframes, they are certified combat aircraft, i.e. they've been through all the test and evaluation. They have weapons hardpoints certified to carry the munitions. They've got radars on them, comlinks, you name it. And so it was a way to put the idea out there that you could buy all of that. You really own it. You just have to put the autonomy on it and hook into the digital flight control system that already exists. The entire notion of how you drive that out comes into two lanes of assessment. First, there's inner loop of control. That is actually flying of the aircraft. It's autopilot. And today, you go on modern airliner, chances are the pilots might not even touch the yoke. It's very advanced. Where it comes into play more of a challenge is what's called outer loop control, and that's how do you execute the actual mission. So things like flying in formation or going after another aircraft to engage your air ground target, it's how do you really manipulate the aircraft to achieve an effect across a situation with a lot of unknowns. And that's where a lot of the investment is occurring, and there have been a lot of tests over the last 20 years to advance that. And so they're pointed in the right direction.
So it seems like the government and the military are interested in this, at least. What have you heard from that side of things?
Yeah, they've been doing a lot of concerted tests over the last 20 years. Been probably at least a dozen efforts, whether it be with industry or the military, advancing these capabilities. And now we're seeing pretty close options that mirror operational light capabilities, which is a big deal. I would say, obviously, it would take more money, time, and energy. But again, it goes to why do you pursue options that buy down risk? Using those older airframes where, you only focus on the autonomy piece. Everything else is kind of in the bag. There are other options, too, where you could develop aircraft, since you don't really put people in them, that are less robust than you would have for a high-end fighter. But if they last 5-6 years, then you can pull the sensors off of them and put them on a new build airframe. That's another way to approach it. But bottom line, I think you're going to see this sooner than you might imagine. And it's also important to look at, really where RPAs went in the last 20 years. I mean, when 9/11 happened, they were kind of things of science fiction, and now they're ubiquitous. I mean, they just are.
A couple more questions for you. Have you thought about what it might actually cost to do this? I mean, are there any sort of equations in the mix?
Yeah. If you look at converting the older aircraft, a good unit measure is actually what we're already doing, converting old F-16s into drones that they do live fire tests against. payments and all that. Those are about $1.3 million per copy. Obviously, this would be more, but it's not $300 million per copy is kind of the point. And so it's bringing it down. Everybody knows any option that they seriously put on the table has got to be far less than what we do for high-end assets. And so I think you'd be looking at things that are in the tens of millions on the low end of that, not $100 million plus.
And what does that do for the Air Force, a service that's trying to expand pretty heavily right now?
Yeah. You need capacity. For the past 30 years, we've assumed that we're really not going to have any attrition or loss, that the problem sets are going to be much more regional in scale. We're not going to look at large peer competitions. That's back on the table now. If you look at where Russia's going, where China's going, they know we have a capacity problem. They're actually taking advantage of it. If you look at things like Ukraine with Russia, they knew we would be self-deterred from engaging in that, preventing them from pushing into there, because we have got really hard choices. If we're going to engage there, then we have to stop doing something elsewhere. Well, then you add on to the fact that they also kind of control the rheostat in Syria. It's a really dangerous spot. We're in two concurrent operations, and they're the ones in charge of what's going on, and we lack the ability to decisively engage. And also, if we're being in a war against a really high-end competitor, we can't take losses anymore. And so that has all been programmed out as a budget efficiency. That is super unrealistic. If you look in, you know, Vietnam, B-52s, which are still flying today, during the last operation of the war, Linebacker 2, we lost 15 airframes in 12 days. The world's gotten a lot more dangerous since then. We're still putting those B-52s in harm's way. So it would be realistic to expect we would lose a significant number of airframes in any future high-end war. We have zero options right now in that, really, when you look at the numbers. And we've got to enter that back into the equation pretty fast.
When it comes to drone pilots, they're not exactly lining up at this point. Have you thought about how maybe to expand that pipeline, or maybe get more people in the service?
Yeah. Right now, obviously, the pilot shortfall is affecting everything. A key element on this is that there actually wouldn't be remotely piloted aircraft, which is what you have for like the MQ-9 Predator, or MQ-9 Reaper, MQ-1 Predator. These are truly autonomous. They engage through technology. You might have humans entering the loop to validate a decision they're going to make, or something like that, but they're not actually hand-flying them by way of remote control. And so in many ways, it would help bring down that cost driver. In terms of the pilot production problem, yeah, the service is working that very, very hard. It's a huge priority. Everybody knows it. This is actually a solution to try to provide combat capacity without adding as much of a stressor there by not tying one aircraft, one pilot, or, you know, multiple folks if it's a bomber or something like that.
That's Douglas Berkey, Executive Director of the Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies, speaking with Federal News Radio Scott Mossione. Check out Scott's story at federalnewsradio.com.